Thank you, Jim. Well, it's good to have you here this morning. And may the Lord just richly bless you. It's good to have all of you who are with us throughout the Lord's body today and around the world, those that are with us through means of internet, and those that are watching by means of web TV on YouTube. So may the Lord bless you. And not only may the Lord bless you where you are, but may He bless you where we all are, in the heavens, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We have been, to some degree at least, dwelling upon the thought, the eternal purpose of God. That purpose which the Father has purposed in Himself. These statements that we have been looking at in the Scripture, just with regard to those words, is tremendously significant to our salvation and to, obviously, the purpose of our salvation. We come to think, and so much of the time that we are man. But when I say man, I'm not just talking about the Adamic man, the Adamic creation that we, is the first man, the old man, and all of that. But I'm not just talking about, I'm talking about man, period. I'm talking about you and I who are born again. Man is not the center of our salvation. Let me put it this way. I am not. Let's say it that way. I am not the center of my salvation. I'm just not. I could not possibly be, because the whole plan, the whole scheme, the whole thought and purpose of my salvation was determined before I ever was. It was planned and purposed before the world was. So not just before Adam was, well, yes, in a corporate way we're all there, but before I was. And it's along this line that I want to talk this morning. Each time I, throughout the week, and particularly on Saturdays and Saturday nights and Saturday evenings, I'm very much taken with whatever it is that the Lord is working in my heart at that particular time to share with you. Because it first must be worked in my heart and soul. And there, see, it's not just like preparing a sermon. Sometimes I wish, and I really don't, but you know, it comes to my mind, man, it'd be nice just to be able to prepare a sermon and then just get it over with. But see, that's not the way we find things in the reality of knowing Christ. It's the gospel is nothing other than, certainly nothing less than, He Himself being revealed in us, in me, in you, by the Father. And that makes the true gospel then the sharing of Christ as revealed of the Father. But the point is, the Father is not revealing the Son in me so I can have something to preach about, though I do preach. Paul says that I may preach Him among the Gentiles. But if you look into his letters, if you look, and you'll find that the purpose, first of all, is a transforming of my soul, bringing me from one image to an altogether, not just to a different image, to an altogether other image in my soul, bringing me in my soul from the image basically of me to the image of Him, from the image of me living and me doing and me serving and me preaching and all of these wonderful good things that are not wonderful or good either. They're just me being religious. Bringing me from that to Him, becoming the very image of my soul. What my soul looks to see life. What my soul looks to see redemption, to see righteousness. What my soul looks to see everything and anything that is truly of God and truly spiritual. My soul looks to Him. And any other image is blasphemous to God. Any other image is an idol. Any other image is worthless. Any other image is just dead. You understand now what I'm talking about, just coming from image to image. That's a work of the Spirit of God in me, and it comes, Paul says, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. With an open heart, with an unveiled heart, with a heart turned to see Him. And in the reality of that, we are changed. It's written right there, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But let's not pin it down to that verse. It's that whole chapter. And the next one also. Yes. It really is. The tremendous thing. I don't have that. I'm thinking, I'll tell you what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the monthly CD that I will probably do tonight. And both of them, this on the eternal purpose and the open heaven, have a lot in common. And of course, that common denominator of both of them is Christ. Point being, that if we're not the center of our salvation, then we're not the center of God's purpose concerning our salvation, that eternal purpose. We are to be partakers. In looking at the door the other day, I am the door. And then going back to the history of that in the Scripture, the testimony of that in the Scripture, you'll find that coming to the door and entering in through the door that we are confronted with a death that we cannot die. We're confronted with a life that we cannot live. And yet it is that very death and that very life that is worked in us in the person of Christ. And I was thinking about that in regard to something of this lesson and in regard to something of the other one that I'm involved in other areas of sharing. And I was thinking about that. My word. Nothing of my salvation is based on anything that I have ever done, including sin. Not based on anything that I've ever done. The foundation of my salvation is the person of Christ Himself. Everybody would say, amen, amen. But do we understand what we're amening? Do we really understand it? Is that the vision and the view of our heart? Have we come from the view where everything about us, including our life in sin, oh, it was all that I did or all these things and I've done, you know, all of that. I've done all these things. Nobody knows how many bad things I've done. And honey, nobody really cares. And we go the same way on the other way about our righteousness. And it doesn't amount to any more than our sinning did. Sin was not what I did, but who I am. And righteousness is not what I do, but who He is. My whole point today, if I've even got one, is that salvation is nothing of me and all of Him. Now, that I don't know why that for Christians that's almost an offense, an affront, hard pill to take. But it's because our idea of Christianity is so man-centered, so centered around me. Now, why am I saying all of this? Because it's the same thing with purpose. Created for purpose, but we're not the focus point of that purpose. Created for purpose, certainly. Certainly. But the purpose for which we are created, and particularly, well, that's just in the beginning, but most particularly created in Christ Jesus. Created for purpose. But that purpose is only satisfied because it's God's purpose. Remember that. It's God's purpose into which we have been brought. God's calling by which we have been called, the vocation of our calling. All of this comes down to purpose. Because there's got to be purpose, see, or everything is just going in millions of directions and there's no order. No order to it, just confusion to it. God is a God, for instance, of one language, a God of one word, a God of one thought. There's no confusion there. God hath spoken in Son. But even mankind, even you and I as Christians trying to learn Christ, have made it into a thing of languages and hundreds of thousands of words. and definitions, all of which probably in the vernacular of those particular languages, whether it's in Spanish or Hebrew or Greek or whatever, that the definition makes sense applied to man. But then we get right into confusion about it. How to do it and how to make it work and all of that. And the Father's answer is bound up in one, not 5,000, not two, one word. A word that penetrates into the depth of my soul. Into the depth of my soul. Into the secret place of the Most High God. It penetrates there. That one word of God doesn't add to my mentality. It doesn't add to my brain power concerning definitions of Greek words. I'm not jumping on anybody. I use all this stuff every day. I'm just saying that in the world of Christianity, it has caused abundance of confusions and divisions. And God's answer is one word which goes into my soul, and whatever, listen to me carefully, whatever the need of my soul is, eternally or particularly, that word meets that need. Whatever it is, that one word meets that need. But not only does that one word meet that need, that one word enables us to look far beyond a current need into a reality of Christ that not only meets a current need, it simply just totally takes us out of it and does away with the need. So we've been talking in some of these sessions about the exalted view of Christ. Now, when I say exalted, I don't mean really that there is any other view. But I'm talking about the Father's view. That view which is above the earthly mind, above earthly things, above everything that is earthy and earthly. The problem with so many of us is that we've got a fence built around part of those things, and we call those the heavenly things on earth or whatever. But they're still earthly. Still earthly. And the answer for our soul the soul has already tried the earthly answer and found it to be a lie. Found it to be a lie. answer for our soul, honey, is heavenly. We do a lot of earthly things, but we should do them all in a heavenly comprehension. I do earthly things every day. If I put a bite of food in my mouth or drink a glass of water, I've done something earthly. But whatever else, we try to find the purpose that we're just talking about in little bits and pieces, we will eventually start to move on farther. If the Lord ever allows my heart to get beyond where I am right now. But while we seek to find purpose in the things that we do, whether they are things that we do, physically, whatever, things that we do, we will fail. We will falter. And yet, although purpose is not found in everything or anything we do, purpose can be the very life, the very worthwhileness, or all of these other words we could use. Purpose could fill and become the fullness of everything that we do. Putting our hand upon anything, whatever it do, that we would do that not to find purpose, but do that in purpose that we are finding in Christ. For I tell you that salvation and purpose of salvation, according to God's eternal view, according to God's thought, what he has purposed in himself. Oh, that purpose. And our salvation. All of that. Is not only found in Christ, it's fulfilled in Christ. So, what we need to set our heart and mind upon is not finding, now just hear these words, because I've said them before. And then I think about it all week long and I sit down and say it again. Is not the finding of my purpose, though that's what it will end up being, but not finding my purpose right along with all of our the rest of our self-centeredness with regard to our salvation. My salvation and all of this stuff. Not the finding of my purpose, but the finding of his purpose, which he has determined for me, which he has determined on my behalf, of which I have absolutely nothing to do. I mean, I didn't develop it. I didn't come up with it. I didn't think it. And I certainly didn't do it. But it is just that way, hon. And we need to, because it's so easy to apply it to something I'm doing and try to find it in it, or You know, even in a material way or in a spiritual way. Either one. Ends up me trying to find my purpose. I don't know how many. I sat and talked with a blessed brother one time who called me here in Arkansas. And he called me and wanted to know if I would come and spend the day with him, because he said, "I think that what you've been telling me is right, Brother Lumen." And I was listening to him, and then he comes up with this, and I remembered one time I did tell him that. He said, "I think what you've been telling me is true. We're a million miles apart." And I said, "Well, Brother so-and-so, I'll tell you, we're not just a million miles apart. We're a whole creation apart." "Well, that's what I want to talk to you about." And I said, "Okay." So I went to talk with him. And I spent a whole day. I drove there, got there. He had it arranged for me to spend the night if I had to. It was in Arkansas. But in the courses of our conversation, because I'm not, you know, this thing went on all day long. In the course of the conversation, he kept telling me, "But you don't understand. You don't understand. My life is teaching. I get here in my office every morning at 4 o'clock. I'm here when my secretary gets here." And he was weeping and crying. He said, "My life is teaching." And after he went on with that, and I kept coming around to it, I told him, I said, "Well, brother, if you don't already, you will, when I say this, think that I'm the most facetious person on the face of the earth. You have sat and said that your life is teaching. There's the difference in what I'm saying to you. My life is Christ." I could be stranded on an island somewhere. And I said, I'm not making any reference to John on Patmos either, but I could be stranded somewhere alone on an island. Nobody else there, never going to be anybody else there. Never. And my life would not be affected at all, brother. Not at all. Nobody to preach to there, nobody to teach. And yet my life abounds. Because my life is Christ. And that's what I've been trying to get across to you. That life, whether your teachings have to be revealed of God or not, that life does. And that's what I'm talking to you about and have been talking to you about for months. That life is not you. It isn't me. It isn't me living, it isn't you living. And it isn't me doing, it isn't you doing. No matter how much you do. It's Christ. And I went on. "But hon, I do not find my life in anything or anyone or anything or other than Christ himself. Consequently, then, in everything I do, I do that in service of one life. I mean, I do that having but one life. Whatever it is, if I'm out here mowing grass, I'm doing it having one life. If I'm sitting here on this stool or walking around on this, I'm doing it having one life. I have but one life, and that's Christ. And I don't find that in anything I do but But we come to a point and beyond when we become an expression of that life in everything that we do. And I'm not talking about some kind of a spiritual manifestation at all, because then we're examining flesh. Jesus told Peter he couldn't come to the understanding that Christ was the Son of the living God, the anointed of the Father, even by looking at the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ and doing it 24 hours a day and 365 days for 3.5 years. Jesus says, looking at me in the flesh hasn't shown you that. But my Father, which is in heaven. So, sweetheart, what I'm trying to just establish is that we find nothing designed of God, purposed of God, and given of God in anyone, in anything, but Christ. But Christ. Consequently, this purpose of which I'm speaking, and we will get to it, and see how it is defined, not by a word, but in the Scripture and in the heart of the Father. It has to do with the pleasure of the Father. But it is the very, if you'll stop and think about this, seeing God as being God and who He is, what could possibly give Him purpose for doing anything that He has ever done, let alone become and determined in His own heart and will, which He hath purposed in Himself. In Himself, before the world was. What could possibly fulfill His purpose? His eternal purpose for every action that He's taken, for everything that He's done, for every action by the Spirit that He still takes. Ah, tremendous purpose, hon. That's why I'm telling you, I'm not the center of that, and you're not either, and nothing else that He has created physically or spiritually, because we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now, we're created there with purpose. But the purpose is found in this one. My God, I apologize for just going around and around and around and around with this, but I'm not going to say but and then go ahead and do it anyway, and yet I guess I will, but I cannot get away from this exalted view of Christ that only the Father can get us. Because you see, when the Father revealed His Son in me, and when that appearing takes place in my heart and in my life and in my seeking of Him, most of the time, and maybe even all the time, much of the time, He brings in, because this is God in His grace and in His mercy and in His love, and He brings in a view of His Son, as I said a while ago, that not only meets the current need of my soul, but reaches far beyond that. far beyond that current need, far beyond that circumstance that I'm in, outwardly or inwardly, reaches far beyond it. But he does that. And I'm always left knowing there is a greater view. There is one. I mean, and I get a little glimpse of that he shall appear the second. And to all of you, that word really isn't, the word time really isn't found in the older manuscripts and doesn't mean, it means the second that he establishes in himself, of himself. The taking away the first, establishing the second man, the Lord from heaven. And it's even written there that he appears out from the second. But the verse there reads, without sin unto salvation. Our knowing of him must take us into a greater realm, an extended realm, a realm beyond our sins being done away, forgiveness of sins and the whole thing. Actually, beyond me being done away. There's not only in the cross the death of Adam, there is the resurrection of Christ himself. And hun, you and I are in an eternal reality. We've got to get, our focus has got to not just be on things on earth, but our focus, the horizons of our very soul expanded. And there's only one light given of God that can expand the horizons of my very soul, can expand that. And that's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's seeing the Lord. And all of a sudden, I'm not cramped in my view like those under the law were. And we've come up with our own religious laws today that keep us cramped because all of them speak of different dispensations and different times and different orders and things that we need to do and not do. And here we go. And it's all earthly. But to begin to actually walk in the light as he is in the light of what? The light of heaven, the light of eternity, the light of glory. Walk in the light as he is in the light. My word. And we will find ourselves walking in purpose. Now, I'm not telling you any other believer that you are without purpose. No, you cannot be in Christ without purpose. You cannot be born from above without purpose. I'm not saying that any of us are without purpose. I'm just saying that many of us are confused concerning purpose. Just like we are concerning our life, concerning our righteousness, concerning our sanctification, concerning on down the line it goes. But the end of that confusion on God's part is showing us his son. Is showing us his son. Well, in Romans 28, we've read that verse before, and that's what I'm talking about here now. And it starts off, it says, and we know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according in accordance with his purpose. And the better translation, I'm told by Bible scholars and translators, is to them who are loving God. Everything is put into an action. To them who are being called. So it is that our calling which is from before the foundation of the world, our calling which is in Christ, which is determined of God from before the foundation of the world, is ever and ongoing. It is a vocation. It is a vocation. We'll look at that one of these Sunday mornings. We'll look at that because that is the key to purpose, to the understanding of purpose. Purpose is in Christ. To say that God's purpose is dwelling in you is one thing, and is a true thing. But are we knowing Him as the very purpose of my soul? And is that reflected? No, not reflected, excuse me. Is that made manifest? Does that fill up every decision we make, everything we say, every place we go, what we do when we're there? You understand? And yet that purpose of God is fulfilled in Him. Well, our calling then. The word here that struck my attention is, and we know. Because Paul here is speaking to those who have understanding. Speak to those who know. The knowing of which Paul always speaks without exception when he's speaking of Christ. Without exception. Is that knowing that comes through the inward revealing. The inward revealing of Christ Himself. This reality is in you. So the enlightening of the eyes of our understanding, that we may then walk in that light as He is in that light. And so Paul is saying here that we know that all things work together for good to them that are loving God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And this is not talking about worldly things, but all things which we have in Christ. Sadly, many, many, many Christians know more about the happening and the existence of worldly things, are things in the world, are things on the earth, and have their hearts set there and than those things which are in Christ. But here we're talking about the knowing that everything given of God in Christ Jesus all works together, all works as one for the good, unto which we are called before the world was. And we find that good only again in Christ, in Him. So let me look at this called according to his purpose. Let me just emphasize for a moment. What a mighty calling. I was thinking about this calling. What a mighty calling. What an awesome calling, which is our vocation. We become awakened to a vocation that is totally not earthly, but will rule everything that is. A vocation. An eternal vocation. An eternal vocation, and of obedience unto that vocation, we will make manifest in everything we do and every place we are. We will be there obedient to the vocation wherewith we are called of God in Christ Jesus. And that doesn't mean I'm there preaching or it doesn't have anything to do with it. But if I am there preaching or if I am there doing whatever, it will be in obedience to the vocation of our calling. Walk worthy of the vocation, Paul says. He uses the actual word, and it's the Greek word for calling, the same as it is in Ephesians 1, where it's talking about the hope of our calling, the expectation of our calling, because this vocation has great expectation bound up to it, not in a future way, but in a way that is part of our very state of being. Our vocation is a state of being. So wherever I am, wherever you are, whatever we're there doing, physically, spiritually, whatever, well, we're there according with our vocation. If I was sitting home in the living, because you see, it's not based upon what I do. It's all going to come down to who he is. And he is who he is wherever you are. Because there you're in him. My Lord. What a calling. And it just hit me the other day. I wrote it out down here in a figure. This was Abraham's call as well. And what I'd said there is our calling, which is from before the foundation of the world, our calling, which is in Christ, which was determined of God before the foundation of the world, is ever and ever ongoing. I mean, it never changes. It is always the same, and yet it is always new. Not always something new, always new, always fresh, always new. Nothing that we can ever build a fence around. It's always new. Because Christ himself, hon, is the newness of all things. Behold, I make all things new. And he does. It's just tremendous. This knowing of Him, it is just tremendous. But that was also in figure, in type, in shadow. That was Abraham's calling as well. Do we actually think that his calling was just out from people, places, and things? Though it is very possible that this calling will, for some, if not for all, in one way or another, necessitate coming out from people, places, and things in one way or another. We are separated, not from as much as separated unto our calling, our vocation. Separated unto our vocation, which means right in the midst of everybody and everything and in every place, I'm about my vocation. No matter what I'm doing, I'm there about my vocation. Being involved, my vocation. Because that's the state of being of my soul. Vocation, then, is that state of being. And so many of us are still just learning that being in Christ is, in fact, a state of being, not some kind of a theological position, but a state of being, a living reality. Our vocation is that, a state of being. That which we are called into. Paul calls it in Ephesians chapter 1, he calls it his calling, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Because that's the calling with which you and I are called. Before the foundation, where are we called? We're called in Christ. Where do we find our vocation? In Christ. Who's the understanding of it? He is. I mean, that's the way it works, son. That's the way it works. We've used the term, or I've kicked it around a little bit, the plurality of one. I thought that I really knew what I was saying. I hadn't even begun to know the totalness of the plurality of one, the all things in Christ. Our vocation is there because you are there and I am there. But that's got to be a reality. It has to be the state of our being. That is the state of my soul, the state of my heart, the state of my mind. And it has got to be the image into which I am being transformed. My goodness. And here's what floors me, and I'm going to stop, but here's what floors me. Bit a big circle and everything that I've been saying now. Sometimes I do. My God, I've got them drawn and then throw them away. Put a big circle and just put all things on there, you know, which is our vocation, our calling, and on and on and on. And then look at that and say, and none of that defines purpose, yet it is all according to the purpose of Him by whom all these other things exist. And then I think, my Lord and my God, what a purpose. What a purpose. All of this according to His purpose. No wonder Paul can say, and we all know that all things work together for the good. That which Paul, that which God says that is good. And we'd have to look back here, and we'll come to that, because it's a big thing here in these notes. What do we really call good? But nonetheless, according to his purpose. What a purpose there is that is set before us. Nowhere else except in Christ. And that all things are gathered up into it. All things in Christ. My Lord. And that very Christ dwelleth in you and I. My, my. What a knowing. What a knowing. To be known of God. To be known of Christ. And knowing Him. With the knowing by which we are known, that same knowing of the Spirit of God that worketh in us the substance of all things spiritual, worketh in us the substance of those all things, which is Christ. My goodness. Okay, hon. We'll stop right here. We've just made another circle. And we'll stop right here. But the Lord just continues with it in my heart. So I've just said in my preparations, Lord, you lead, you guide, you direct, because you're the only one that knows where we're going. The Lord bless. Glad to have you with us in these sharings and in all of the sharings that go out in one way or another from this place and from those that are set here and who actually constitute this place. It's a joy to share with you that reality of Christ that is revealed by the Spirit of God in those who have a heart to know Him. So let us hear from you. How we can help you, how we might continue to minister to you in whatever way we can do in our outreach. And thank you, so many of you, and every one of you who help us through your faithfulness, through your giving, who actually make it possible for us to continue to do throughout the Lord's body what He has given us to do. So we thank you for that. Thank you that we can continue to reach out beyond ourselves into His body. The Lord bless you. Amen. We're finished.